glory. Ha ha! Who's for some more glory? Why don't you just stand with you? Stand with me for a moment. There's one more wave. I felt two things in the worship. God wanted to drop peace into our hearts. And the second thing that comes as a result of peace is great joy. So who would like some peace and joy today? Let's lift our hands. Father, we by faith, we receive these two precious gifts. I want you to just receive it however you choose to do that. Just grab it from heaven and pull it down. Pull it down. Say, Father, I grab the great gifts of peace. A peace that passes all understanding. My mind can't work it out, but somehow my body is infused with it. The people around me can't work it out, but somehow they see it sticking out my eyeballs. It's peace. Father, it's peace. Put your hands on your stomach. Say, Father, let the peace come and invade my very being right now. So whatever I'm facing right now, in the name of Jesus, we declare there is peace in this situation. We stare at that situation. We glare at it. We say it cannot harm us. So 10,000 fall to my right, thousands to my left. It will not come near me. He's put a guard around me. The angel of the Lord encampeth about me and will deliver me from all harm and evil. Guys, get this word into you right now. This is the word of God into you right now. Whoa. And I'll put your hand on your head. Work with me. Work with me. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Say this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord. There may be tears in night, but joy comes in the morning. Some of you right now say joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. There's joy coming. Peace and joy. Peace and joy. Whoa. Take the other hand. Put it on your stomach. See if you can turn one and pat the other one. Say there's joy and peace and it's coming. Right now, joy and peace, joy and peace. Woo! Come on, let's give the Lord a round of applause. Yeah! Joy and peace. Wow. Can anyone actually do that? Tap your head and turn your... No. You can do it. You're just a clever man, James. You're a clever man. Clever man. Well, it's an absolute privilege to be able to do part two. I didn't think I was going to do it, and so, great. Here we go. We're going to need the slides up quite quickly because I'm going to work, yes please, quite often. But basically, we talked about last week. Who was here last week? Show your hands so I know where we're going. All right, so the majority of the people. We're working on the basis that we understand that we're living in a new covenant, right? But as I tried to show us, a lot of our actions and our thinking still is based in the old. And we can have a slide up. That would be really, really cool. Great. So I thought, well, really what I wanted to call today's talk, I had two titles. Becoming a Contagious Church is where I ended up. But I wanted to call it The Happiest People on the Planet was the other one. Because I think if you're the happiest person on the planet, you'll be the most contagious church. Would you agree? Are you alive? So what we're trying to talk about is the fact that although we understand we're in a new covenant, a lot of our thinking still needs to be renewed. Would you agree? So have a look at this next slide. This is what we said. We said under the old agreement that there were sacred places, sacred people, sacred days, sacred music, sacred words, sacred things. Do you remember those? And actually in our thinking, we still do a lot of that, don't we? We still probably treat Sunday like it's the holy day. Yeah? It's Sunday, church day. And how many of us go through our record collection and have them categorized as Christian and secular? Who has that still? Now, I caught myself so many times this week talking about the difference between secular and Christian. How many of you use those words? There is no such thing anymore. The barrier has been removed. You can worship God to Led Zeppelin as much as you can to Hillsongs. We redeem it. We redeem it. The organ may well have been anointed in the 1970s and the drums outcast, but this is the season of the drums. I remember, I was thinking back, talking to my kids and talking about the good old days when we fought hard in the church to bring one of those overhead projectors. Remember those? With acetates? We were only allowed to use it for the choruses because God wouldn't come and anoint the meeting if it was still in play at the beginning. And then we tried the drums, and so what we did is we brought the drums in a piece at a time, over a year. So for the first 2 months, with just the drum pedal, it was fine, because no one made any noise. But by the end of the year, everyone had kind of, isn't it weird how we believe we're in the new covenant, but we still hanker after all of those things? And we're talking about living in the new covenant, having a lifestyle of worship, where every day, every place is sacred. Even your bathroom, believe it or not, is sacred. Your office is the Holy of Holies. Think about that. The office where you work is the Holy of Holies. The car that you drive in is the Holy of Holies. The nightclub you went to, or am I pushing it too far? That we are all sacred, holy priests. Say it to someone, you are a sacred, holy priest. You are. You don't have to have a dog collar on and a robe to be a sacred person. That every day is sacred as unto the Lord. This is the day that we will rejoice every day. That all music is sacred. Glory! Some of you are still fighting me on that one. That's okay. That there aren't special words. I find it funny when someone says to me, Dave, would you come and pray for us because we want a special blessing? And I look at them and go, oh, my dear. Your words are as effective as mine. You don't need a pastor to pray for you. Your words are as powerful and more effective because the prayers of a righteous man, who's righteous in the place, avails much. Do you see how we've got to change our thinking? You're all righteous. You're all holy. You're all priests. You're all sacred. And Jimi Hendrix was a prophetic anointed man of God. Pushing it too far there, Dave. Pushing it too far. Next slide. We talked about what happened. We talked about the cross. And we said that we asked the question, did the ripping of the veil allow us in, or did it let God out? Now, remember, if you only think it's letting you in, then you still haven't shifted in your thinking. You still place God in a place. You see that? But where does God live now? In us. And where are we? Everywhere. Even if I go to the ends of the earth, David says in Psalms, you are there. I can't run. We've got to get that you didn't come to church to meet with God. You brought God with you. Isn't that fantastic? So you can have a Holy of Holies glory workout session right there in the airport lounge. Because you brought God right there. And when you brought him there, you realized he was already there before you got there. Amazing. Oh, God, meet God. And we talked about missionaries, how missionaries thought that they used to have to take God to a deep, darkest Africa, Pinetown place. Remember that? And when they arrived, they realized God had already come. He was actually already there. And we find a lot of people are connecting with God, but they don't know it yet. They still got to find God. Isn't that exciting? Well, I thought it was. It's great. Really good. Keep preaching, Dave. Well done. Next slide. Anytime you like. There we go. I want to camp on this one for a moment. How many of you were brought up with this as you're thinking? Yep. Did anyone ever do evangelism? Did anyone ever get invited into evangelism? This is what used to happen in my old church. Okay, we used to decide that this Saturday we're going to go and we're going to get some heathen people saved. Anyone ever used to use those words? We are going to go and get them saved. So what we'd do is we'd all meet on Saturday. It was always on Saturday for some reason. And we'd get there at 9 o'clock and we'd form a holy huddle because we really needed encouragement. Because this was a big, bad, horrible world out there and we were going to go out there and get Jesus in there. So we'd all form a huddle and we'd say encouraging things to each other. And we'd wind each other up. Come on, you can do it. Greater is He that's in you, He's in the world. Just like a spring. When the spring was just there, then they'd open the doors and release us into the streets. With tracts in hand, Bible in back pocket, looking for a pagan sinner to rescue. And so we'd trudge into the world, dun dun dun, on our horses, looking for a suspecting person who was just shopping, minding their own business. And we'd grab them, and we'd look them in the face, and we'd pull out our track and say, turn or burn. God loves you. And if they showed the slightest bit of interest, we'd jump them onto our horse and we'd ride them back into the safety of the church. Anyone done that? But we're living in the new covenant. Okay, that's not a good way of doing evangelism, just so you know. It didn't work, because all we did is we went and got people with religion and brought them into religion and bound them up with more religion and then wondered why they now wanted to leave. And so we now had to manipulate them for the next 10 years to stay. And that, we called, was ministry. Lord, help us. But you know what religion does, though? Religion also causes us to put into boxes. Life. We think that church and God fits into this box. We still do it, don't we? So we're going to read our Bibles on Saturday in case they catch us out on Sunday. And we're going to... Sunday's coming, so we'll put worship songs on. Get ourselves in the mood. Yeah? But then Monday comes, we close the church box and we go into work mode. And we probably don't think about God for the rest of the day. And then we come home and maybe there's a moment, there's another box. We put the quiet time box. Does anyone have boxes in their lives? So what religion does is religion makes us make our Christian walk into boxes. And provided that we do well in each box, we can tick the box and we think we're okay. But the new covenant and what Jesus did was to remove all the boxes and said, your life is worship unto me. The good, the bad, the ugly, the great. It's worship unto me. How many of you, do you see how that's going to fundamentally change us? So when do you have your quiet time? From the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep. When do you start praying? Well, Thessalonians says, continually praying. When do we give thanks in church? Continually giving thanks. It's a continual work and lifestyle. How much would our lives change if our lives was a continuation of this and of our work with God and our communication with God? Isn't that exciting? I'm going way too slow. But if you have... Go back one more. Go back. If you have boxes, then this morning, can I challenge you to break them? If you have your quiet time at a set time, can I challenge you this week? Don't. Don't do it. Find another time. If you read your reading plan, stop your reading plan just for a week. It won't kill you. You won't go to hell. Read something else. If the Bible's gone stale, dare I say, close the Bible and find something else to read for a week. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to read? Because He can take a wonderful piece of poetry, text, and you can find God in it. And then you go back to the Bible with a new love. Isn't this freeing? You have to live life like this? Breaking the boxes. All right, go for it. Next slide. So we're talking about how do we have a life of worship? How do we live our lives in the presence of God? Do you remember the story I told you of the missionary went to Israel? And they went into the new house and they saw some doves who started to living in the rafters. Remember that story? And so they realized that when they started to raise voices or there was tension in the room, the doves would fly out the house. And it might be one or two days later that the doves would then return. And so these missionaries started to live. They coined a phrase, we're living with one eye on the dove. I just love that picture that they started, and by having an eye on the dove, their behaviors started to change. They didn't have to sit down and decide to change. They just kept an eye on the dove. And as long as the dove was there, everything was cool. Now, we all know the dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And you have the Holy Spirit with you, reigning in you all the time. Is that right? But the question is, do we have our eye on the dove? Because we know the presence of the Holy Spirit never really leaves us. But how many of you feel like sometimes He leaves you? Yeah? And, you know, living in a lifestyle of worship is living with an eye on the dove, aware of His presence. Aware. An awareness of His presence. So I'm not trying to ask you to get something you haven't got. You already got it. You just need to become more aware of His presence. Isn't that exciting? Now, everything flows out of a heart of worship. If you've got a Bible, and it's a good thing to have. Get it on your phone. It's really cool. Proverbs 4:23. I'm going to give you a moment for everyone to get it. Everyone, just find a Bible. If you haven't got a Bible, sit next to a Christian. I want you to find, this is one of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible. If you want the key to change your life, then Proverbs 4:23 is it. Are you ready? This is going to change you. Redline it, highlight it, put it in your car, wherever it is. Guys, put it in the loo. You spend most of your time there, and you will get this right. It says this, above or else. Now, when the Bible says above or else, do you think that's a pretty important saying? Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I'm going to say that again. It might be in slightly different versions. It says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The heart is the life of the Christian. Your heart is the health, the engine room, the machine. It's the thing that pumps everything into your life. And yet it's the one thing we don't guard very well. Now, the scripture doesn't say be guarded. It says guard your heart. Out of our whole existence flows our heart. From our heart flows our entire existence. And I want to ask you this question. How do we guard our hearts? How do we live our life with one eye on the dove whilst guarding our hearts? It's hard enough, isn't it, just to work Monday to Friday. Anyone know that? You might be like me sitting there going, I've got 27 meetings and now He wants me to do another thing. But guarding your heart is a lifestyle. It is a discipline. It is a habit that we get into. And it's this. The first thing you do when you guard your heart is in the morning, you check how your heart is. Check on your heart. Guys, this is very simple. When you sit in your car, just before you go off, stop for a second and ask yourself, how am I today? How am I today? And you take a test and you say, today I might need to guard my heart. I'm feeling sensitive. I'm feeling emotional. I need to guard my heart. But Jesus, I want you to come in and help me minister and flow out of my heart today. Are you with me? Because when you start to live your life aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit, you start to live your life with your heart in check, you are going to see some exciting things happen. And we're going to talk about those in a second. Because a lifestyle of worship is simply this. It's a lifestyle of being aware of His presence. Being aware of His presence. James, come and help me up here. Right? Just stop typing and come and help me. I know you're not really taking notes. By the way, did you know that the internet usage in this church during the sermons doubles? I wonder why that is. Anyway, often, just checking. Often we are completely oblivious. Just walk with me, right? You God. Often we spend our lives completely oblivious of the presence of the Holy Spirit. But this is actually what's happening. He's with you all the time. And as we start to move, He starts to whisper things to us as we're going along. He starts to say things to us about situations. Work with me anytime you like. But the trouble is, if I preach quicker, then they're not going to get what I'm trying to say. And often, we ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit. We carry on our lives, and we don't listen to what He's saying. Is anyone like this? And we need to be aware of the presence of God. Give him a round of applause, for He really puts me off. He's with you, but your heart needs to be in check to hear Him. So, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Guys, everything comes out of your heart. I love this scripture. It's not a scripture. John Eldridge writes it in his book. Close. Should be a scripture. The glory of God is greatest seen in a man fully alive. Think that for a moment. The glory of God is greatest seen in a man fully alive. When I stand behind a keyboard and lead worship, I feel the most alive I've ever been. And for me, the glory of God, it's effortless to play the piano and lead worship. I step off the stage filled with joy. Because the glory of God is the most evidenced in a man fully alive. Here's the question. What do you do that makes you feel most alive? Do more of it. That's medicine to your heart. Out of the overflow of your heart, people catch God. They don't catch God by you telling them about Him. They catch God by seeing Him in you. Because we're ministering out of the abundance, out of the overflow. Our lives have to be out of the overflow. If you feel like your heart is still hard or empty, then can I ask you, look at what it is you're doing. Change. Do something different. Find the overflow and minister out of that place. Isn't that exciting? It's not supposed to be hard work. If it's hard work, then you're doing it wrong. Let's slide, and we're going to go real quick. 10 minutes to finish. Don't you love this picture? The love revolution. Anyone seen that before? The love revolution. How do we have a lifestyle of worship? Well, the greatest way to have a lifestyle of worship is find out what it is that God loves. Can anyone tell me, what is the one thing God loves more than anything? What is the one thing God loves more than anything? Worship. Yeah. Okay, you're getting it. Kind of there. The one thing God loves more than anything is people. So when you love people, guess what you're doing to God? You're loving Him. The greatest way to love God is not to sing songs, is not to be on your face. The greatest way to love God is love His creation. The greatest way to love God is love His creation. Who is His creation? Everyone. So how do we have a lifestyle of worship? We have a lifestyle of worship by loving others. It's not complicated, but we need reminding. How many of you go to work thinking, I must love others? If you're like me, I'm thinking, I must get through my meetings without swearing. Loving others is probably secondary on the list, right? I must get down Fields Hill before the taxis get downfield. That's normally on our hills, right? Or the truck. We're not going there. But actually what's on God's agenda is love, love, love. Do, do, do. Love, love, love. See, the Beatles had it right from the beginning. Sacred music. Okay, here's the challenge. If you want your workplace to see God, start loving them. And they will see God. Love, revolution. How do we become a contagious church? Love people. Love them madly. Do crazy things. Go out and buy chocolates for the entire office. And when they say whose birthday, it says, no one's birthday, just wanted to buy all chocolates. Go out and buy flowers. Single guys, you won't be single for long. Buy flowers. Love people when they don't expect to be loved. Do things for them that they don't expect to have done for them. Walk the other mile. Go to the photocopier and back for someone. Love, love, love. It's not complicated, this Christian life. It's just about living in the overflow. And the cool thing about loving others is as you love others, you feel more loved. I used to preach really complicated sermons, and now they just get more simple as they go. Because the new covenant is simply this, that He loved me first. I want to give you the scripture. I love it. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I want you to say this with me. Let's get it in. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Can you imagine a church that did that? Can you imagine the power of a church that did that? That would be a church that understands a lifestyle of worship. One more thing, and we're done. How are we doing, James? How many of you like adventure? Yep. What were those adventure trilogy called with the guy with the cowboy hat and the... Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones is what I would call a good New Testament Christian. Turn your Bibles to Romans 8:14. It says this. Put this last slide on for me, bud. Actually, there's one slide to go before we get there. I just want to have a look at this. The enemy of compassion is being self-absorbed. The enemy of worship is being self-absorbed. The enemy of not hearing God is living a life self-absorbed. How many of us are guilty of being self-absorbed? Yeah? Basically, guarding your heart is wake up, smell the roses, and feel the presence of God. Isn't that exciting? Let's go on. Romans 8:14, Holy Spirit leadings. Okay, here's where it gets fun. How many of you want to take God into the boardroom? What do you think would happen if God spent a day with you? Just saying. What do you think would happen if the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty, the Creator of the Earth, the one that can do anything, happened to spend the day with you? What do you think would happen? Well, I want to tell you a picture. How many of you believe that we're living in New Testament days? Hands up. I'm going to trap you, but just work with it. All right, here we go. Put this slide up for me. I want you to look at this. This is a standard day in the New Testament church. Matthew 4:1, they were led by the Spirit. Matthew 10:20, speaking by the Spirit. Luke 2:27, they were moved by the Spirit. Luke 4:18, he was anointed by the... And now we get into the fun things. Acts 8:19, Spirit directed Philip. Now, you'll see in the New Testament, certainly in the book of Acts, how many times the word directed by the Spirit appears. They got told to go left, to go right, to go up, because to go down, to go to a town, not to go to a town, to lie down, to stand up, to run, to pray, to knock a building down, or to carve a big hole in a man's roof and lower somebody down. How many of you like to be led by the Holy Spirit? Like go to the boss and say, I made a big hole in your roof because the Holy Spirit told me so. But the reality is the New Testament is full, stuffed full of Spirit-directed people. The question is, when did we stop being led by the Spirit? We stopped being led by the Spirit because we stopped being aware of His presence. Who wants an edge in sales? If you're in sales, who would like an edge in sales? Okay, here's the edge. Have a prophetic word for the person you're selling to. So I'm sitting in a boardroom. I'm about to present to a multinational MD. And I'm saying, God, how am I going to get this word in? Suddenly, God drops a word. It's a picture. And so I happen to get this picture into the pitch. Well, the guy turns from being completely negative to overwhelmingly open. And then as we wind the pitch up, he says, can I have a quick word? He pulls me to one side, has a cup of coffee with me, and he says, why did you mention that? I'm curious. It says, that was my daughter's favorite saying. She died 6 years to the day. How did you know that? I got the sale not because of my cleverness. I got my sale because the Holy Spirit led and guided us. How many of you have a difficult person at work? You don't know how to handle. Who knows how to handle him? Her? Just listen. Over and over and over again in Acts, they were directed by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, shown, given a vision by the Spirit, transported. One moment they're in one place, one moment they're in next. Suddenly he goes to sleep and an angel brings down a whole tent full of wild animals he wasn't supposed to eat and says, eat them. How's that for breaking the secular sacred? So here's the question as we wrap up. A life of worship thirsty flows from a heart that is aware of the presence of Jesus. A life of worship is one where people see the glory of God because you start to be fully alive. But more importantly, the life of worship is a Holy Spirit adventure. Put this last slide up for me. Do you look at this picture? Don't you love that picture? Here's what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you over your lives. There is more happening than meets the eye. There's more happening here than meets the eye. If you just stopped in every situation and paused and said, there's more happening here than meets the eye, it will transform the way you respond and you approach the situations you're in. You get into a workplace and you find that there's a funny atmosphere, and you stop and you say, there's more happening here than meets the eye. How many of you would love to hear the Holy Spirit start giving you secrets of what's going on? Guys, I know sometimes it's a bit hard because we're very task-focused and driven, but it is very possible to pause for a moment and have God speak to you. And it might be that He gives you an idea or a tact or a way of going about something you never thought about, and you try it. It takes faith to be led by the Spirit. How many of you know that? It just, you've got to hear the Holy Spirit, and then you've got to try it. And can I tell you, in the last 18 months of working in boardrooms, I have heard more of the Holy Spirit's voice than ever in my 17 years of ministry. And every time we've stepped out in faith, it has brought fruit that you cannot imagine. God wants to open people's lives up. He wants to use you to bring prophetic words and knowledge. He wants you to be a demonstration of His love and His power. He wants you to be Holy Spirit missionaries into your work. If you don't have a job, when you go to SPAR, He wants you to take the Holy Spirit's power all over SPAR. Have the Holy Spirit lead you to which counter to be in. And when you're at the counter, have the Holy Spirit lead you to what you need to say. How exciting would that be? And if you get it wrong, the only thing that happens is you just die a little bit more. And that's just good. Isn't it? So, 2 weeks. Over the 2 weeks, we've learned this. God wants to take our thinking from boxes into a lifestyle. He wants to remove the sacreds and make you sacred. Wants to give you a life of abundance and overflow. And He wants to turn you into Holy Spirit missionaries that take His kingdom and transform the very places where we are. How many of you would like to see this church double in size? Wouldn't we? There is no reason that a church this contagious can't treble in size in no time. Because people want to be around people that are interesting and happy. And there's something weird about you. Why don't you stand with me? Stand with me. So it wasn't a detailed preach into words, but I'm hoping you're catching my heart. Today, a lifestyle of worship is what Jesus wants us to live in. Why? Because it's good for us. It's great for us. It puts a smile on your face, and it's going to make us the happiest people on the planet. Who wants to be the happiest person on the planet? Let's lift our hands right now. Plug into the Holy Spirit right where you are. I want you to start to open up your heart. Say, Father, I'm engaging my heart right now in the name of Jesus. Opening up my heart. Father, I'm praying that you give me ears to hear, eyes to see. Give me faith to open my mouth and speak those things. I want to feel the presence of God with me on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. I want to be aware of His voice in my ear. I want to be on this Holy Spirit adventure. I'm done with being bored of church. I want the real deal right now, Holy Spirit. Father, I'm praying for every salesperson on this planet that you will give them, well, certainly in this room, that you'll give them prophetic words this week that open up new sales opportunities. Business owners that have Holy Spirit strategies. People that go shopping in SPAR and Pick and Pay have Holy Ghost encounters over the frozen section. Father, I pray that there will be awesome testimonies of a living God at work in His living people. Just take a big drink and say, yes, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.